Hello and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week we have two more half-hour shows from CBS Radio Workshop. They are both very funny and imaginative. First, we have two very different takes on the Cinderella story. Vincent Price interrupts the traditional story narrated by Loreen Tuttle with a Cinderella who is a really hip chick in New York City. Loreen Tuttle's Cinderella is a doll, while Vincent Price's is a mall, and the contrast will make you laugh out loud. They called this radio play Speaking of Cinderella, or If the Shoe Fits, on the CBS Radio Workshop, first broadcast April 6, 1956, on CBS.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Loreen Tuttle and I have been having a little argument as to the relative merits of...
Having a little discussion regarding two different schools of literary thought. I've been maintaining to Mr. Price...
You may call me Vincent.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Vincent. I've been maintaining that our whole lives are enriched by the warmth and beauty of romanticism.
Romanticism, my dear Loreen, is for those weak, lily-livered individuals who haven't the courage to face the realities of life. Realism is life. Now, I'll take Eugene O'Neill any day in preference to Winnie the Pooh.
And I'll take Cinderella any day rather than Hedda Gabler.
Cinderella. Now, she's exactly what I mean. A smudge-faced juvenile delinquent, if you ask me.
It's only one of the most beautiful fairy tales ever told. I defy any realist to tell such a moving story.
Oh, you would, eh? Well, very well. To prove my point, I'll tell the real story of Cinderella.
Very well, but ladies... first.
Please.
To prove my point, I'll tell the romantic story of Cinderella.
CBS Radio, a division of the Columbia Broadcasting System, and its 217 affiliated stations present... The CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Tonight, Ed Verdier and Don Clark's dramatic excursion into the realm of realism versus romance, as the workshop presents Speaking of Cinderella, or If the Shoe Fits, starring Vincent Price and Loreen Tuttle. Special music composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander.
Vincent, are you listening? Once upon a time in a faraway country, there lived a lovely young girl named Cinderella. Unfortunately, she had a cruel stepmother and two stepsisters who were hard-hearted and ill-tempered. Poor Cinderella worked like a slave during the day, and in the evening she would sit alone in the chimney corner among the ashes. Now, it happened that the king of the land was giving a ball, and all the people of rank and fashion were invited. Among these were Cinderella's two stepsisters.
I'm really very well pleased that my two daughters have been invited to attend the king's ball.
Oh, so are we, Mama.
It has been rumored that the king's eldest son, the prince, is to choose his bride from among the young ladies who will be present.
Oh, the prince is so tall and handsome.
So gallant and rich.
And don't forget... one day, his bride will become queen of the kingdom and will rule over all the subjects in the domain.
Dear stepmother.
What? Oh, it's you, Cinderella. What do you want?
Dear stepmother, could I, too, go to the ball?
What? You? Have you taken leave of your senses, girl? You have no clothes, only those tattered old rags you're wearing. There are ashes in your hair. Your shoes are broken and scuffed.
With very little trouble, I believe I could make myself quite presentable.
You, a scullery maid, presentable. I've never heard of such conceit.
I beg of you, stepmother. A simple little dress. I could wear a flower in my hair.
That will be all from you, you impertinent ragamuffin. Back to the kitchen. Do you hear me? Back to the kitchen this instant.
And so poor Cinderella went back to her chimney corner and wept bitter tears. She knew that
Wait a minute. Now, there's as fine an example of flapdoodle as I've been exposed to in my whole life.
What do you mean, flapdoodle?
This Cinderella character. Why, the way you romanticists picture her, the poor girl needs an analyst.
Oh.
What on earth is she doing groveling around in the fireplace getting ashes in her hair? Nobody could ever be like that. Now, do you want to know what really happened?
Well, I don't think so.
It would do you good, Lorene. Facing reality, you understand. Well, this gal, Cindy, wasn't getting much of a break, but she didn't take it sitting down. She knew she had to play it smart. So when a rich man in town sent out bids for a big wing ding he was throwing, Cindy was all ears.
I'm certainly glad you girls have been invited to Mr. King's party. It should be real nervous.
Yeah, when he throws one, it's really a rocket.
And you can say that again. The last one we went to, I was hungover for 3 days.
I read in somebody's column, Winchell's, I think, that the old man has given his son the word to get married and settle down. Get the possibilities?
I understand the guy's quite a wolf.
So what?
And don't forget that someday he'll be a vice president of King Betancourt Bagby and Wince, one of the biggest advertising agencies in the world.
No wonder they call him the prince.
So, if one of you girls latch on to him, you'll have it made, but good.
Hey, how about me crashing this brawl?
You, Cinderella? You must be blowing your stack.
Now I've heard everything. Go up on the roof and feed your pigeons.
Knock it off, you two, or I'll belt you one in the teeth.
Don't pull any of your lady wrestler stuff on my gals.
I would have been a champ by this time if you hadn't made me throw those last two matches. I had gorgeous Gloria's shoulders pinned to the canvas when you...
What are you beefing about? You got your cut?
Yeah, then you took me for the whole bundle shooting craps. Look, do I make this party or don't I?
You don't. Besides, you haven't got a thing to wear.
You're loaded. You might part with a little grab. I can pick up a nifty little number at Orbox for a few bucks.
That's enough out of you, Cinderella. Get back to the kitchen and wash the dishes. And get the dried egg yolk off the plates for a change.
Don't give me that lift, that load, tote, that bail routine. I got other plans.
Cinderella, where are you going?
Down to Dirty Joe's Bar and Grill, that's where.
That horrible smelly dive down on the waterfront?
I've smelled worse.
But the dock workers are having labor trouble down there.
Don't worry your empty head about me, Steppy. I can take care of myself. Be seeing you.
Oh, I have never, never in all my life heard anything so outrageous. Vincent, you should be ashamed of yourself. Distorting that lovely story and making Cinderella such a horrible character.
Well, at least she has spirit. She isn't the namby-pamby little goop you'd want the public to accept.
My Cinderella is a charming child, unspoiled, sweet, and naive.
Oh, she's naive, all right. She's so naive, she's simple in the head. She ought to be in an institution.
That isn't true.
She has all the personality of an oyster. Why doesn't she stand up for her rights?
Because she's a dear, obedient child.
Well, a good psychiatrist might help her, but I doubt it. Your Cinderella was trying to escape reality by indulging in daydreams about a fairy godmother. Fairy godmother.
It wasn't that way at all. You see, there really was a fairy godmother.
You don't say.
Yes. So, when her two stepsisters had left for the ball, dressed in their beautiful gowns, Cinderella went sorrowfully to the kitchen, sat down in the chimney corner and broke into sobs of unhappiness. At this moment, a beautiful fairy appeared.
No, stop your crying, my child. I am your fairy godmother, Cinderella. If you wish to go to the king's ball, you shall. But you must do everything I say.
Yes. Oh, yes, of course.
First, bring that pumpkin out into the garden.
Where shall I put it?
Right there. Yeah, that's right. Now, I'll touch it with my magic wand like this. And... there.
Oh, my. A splendid coat, all gold and silver.
Now, Bring me those 6 mice in yonder trap.
Yes. All right. What shall I do with them?
Put them there, in front of the carriage.
That's it.
So, a touch of my wand and...
Six white horses with golden harness and red and blue ribbons in their manes. Fairy godmother, it's wonderful.
Oh, well, my dear, is this not a fit equipage to take you to the king's ball?
Indeed. Indeed it is, but I have no suitable gown. All I have are these tattered rags.
Oh, yes. We'll soon take care of that.
Oh, how lovely. A white satin gown, covered with pearls and diamonds, and tiny slippers of glass, spun as fine as gossamer. How can I ever thank you, dear, dear fairy godmother?
By being happy. But hear me. There is one condition. You must not remain at the ball after the clock strikes 12. If you do, your coach and horses will all return to their natural forms, and your fine gown will again turn to rags.
Oh, I promise I'll leave the ball at the very first stroke of 12.
Then off with you, my darling, and have a merry time.
You've been so good to me. So very, very good.
And so, in all her finery, Cinderella started off for the king's ball, looking more like a princess than anyone who would be there. Cinderella was very happy.
Oh, what stuff and nonsense. Really, in all my born days,
Wasn't that enchanting, my dear?
Enchanting? It was appalling.
Appalling?
Moreover, it doesn't make any sense. Cinderella's stepmother obviously has money. She thinks nothing of getting Dior and Adrian gowns for her daughters. But still, her place is overrun with mice and rats. Why, if the Board of Health
ever... You are getting more odious by the minute.
Odious, schmodious. Let's get back to reality. And the way the story really happened. Now, this Cinderella kid wants to go to the ball, all right. But instead of falling back on her schizophrenic escape pattern, why doesn't she do something constructive? Now, actually, she does.
Such as what?
Such as this. When Cinderella left her mother's house, she was pretty steamed up about the treatment she'd got. So, as she said, she went to Dirty Joe's down on the waterfront, where she could get a short beer and think things out.
Hi, Dirty Joe.
Hiya, Cindy. How are your pigeons?
Joe, you know Crummy.
Crummy?
Yeah.
Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Crummy who?
You know, Crummy McRotter.
Oh, him.
He comes in here all the time, doesn't he?
Yep.
You see him tonight?
Yep.
You mean he's been in?
Sure.
When did he come in?
About an hour ago.
Did he say where he was going when he left?
Nope.
How long ago did he leave?
He didn't.
Huh? You mean he's still here?
Yeah, over there, in the last booth.
Oh, thanks. I mean, thanks. Hi, Crummy.
Hiya, Bright Girl. How's the pigeons?
Mind if I sit down?
What's to stop you?
That sawed-off shotgun.
Oh. I'm moving over here.
Why the artillery?
Things are tough on the waterfront right now, Bright Girl. The boss wants us band boys to play soft, sad music as a warning to the dock wallopers who ain't kicking in.
Yeah. Who's the target for tonight?
Guy by the name of Gus Guggenheimer plays a glockenspiel. He run out on us. And what's on your mind, Bright Girl?
Look, Crummy, I'm going to put it right on the line with you. I need some dough.
Oh, sure. Who don't?
I need a slick drape and
I'm sorry, Bright Girl. You can't put the bite on me for nothing like that.
I don't need much, Crummy. Just a couple of C notes.
Hey, what do you think I am? Your fairy godmother or something? If you need some scratch, get it from your old lady.
She wouldn't give me a dime.
That's too bad. Now, the way I hear it, she keeps plenty of ice around the place.
Hey, the wall safe. Crummy, you got something there. You know how to crack a safe.
You ain't just beating your gums, baby. I got 10 years in Alcatraz to prove it.
All right, then. Now, here's what we'll do. Listen. You getting it, Crummy?
Will you shut up and leave me listen?
one thing I've got to remember.
Yeah, what's that?
Except for the bracelet I'm going to give you for this caper. I've got to put back all the rest of the jewels before midnight. There's a time lock on this safe, and it's set for 12 o'clock.
I've got it open. Hey, there's plenty of loot in here.
Wait a minute. Get your cotton-picking hands off that stuff. Mm. Oh, no. Here's a bracelet. Must be worth a grand at least. Give me 2 C-notes and it's yours. Then you better add an extra sawbuck for cab fare.
Well, here's a 200, but not another cent. I made a sucker deal, if you ask me.
All right, all right. Don't give me the extra 10. I'll just have to heist a car to get to the party, that's all.
Code 3-768-W-4-3-7-9-8-HF-2-2. Be on the lookout for a pumpkin yellow Cadillac convertible just stolen from the corner of 4th and Spruce Streets. Repeating, code 3-768-W-4-3-7-9-8-HF-2-2.
You see what I mean? My Cinderella is a realist. She has spirit.
Oh, really, Vincent? You know this whole thing is impossible.
I don't quite agree with you. Your version of the Cinderella story is impossible. Mine is possible. But continue, my dear.
Well, I'm not sure that I want to, but I suppose I must if any semblance of dignity and decorum is to remain in this lovely story. Well, when Cinderella arrived at the king's palace, she was surrounded by courtiers who led her into the ballroom. All eyes were directed toward her, for everyone was struck by her grace and beauty. No one knew who she was. Even her cruel stepsisters did not recognize her. So rich and splendid was her dress. All the king's courtiers, one after another, asked Cinderella to dance, and they were all highly pleased with her grace and elegance, as well as enchanted by the wit and brilliance of her conversation. The prince himself arrived quite late. Seeing Cinderella, he so admired her appearance and manners, he immediately offered her his hand to the dance.
What a charming creature you are. Tell me your name, I pray.
That I cannot do, sir. And please do not press me to tell it.
I am sure you must be a princess from a distant kingdom.
Prithee, what makes you say such a thing as that?
No one but a princess could wear as magnificent a gown as yours, encrusted with precious gems and jewels. And no one but a princess could be so beautiful and so beguiling.
You will turn my head with the sweetness of your words, my prince. And indeed, what is that?
It is the tolling of the curfew bell.
What o'clock is it? Tell me quickly.
'Tis midnight.
I must go. I must leave at once.
I beg you to stay yet a while, for you dance with the likeness of a butterfly on the soft summer breeze.
I cannot stay. I cannot.
My heart prompts me to tell you that I love you, for I have never seen a maid so fair.
No. No, please let me go. Good night, my prince. My prince charming. Good night.
In her haste to leave, my beautiful princess has left her slipper behind. A slipper of glass spun as fine as gossamer. I vow I shall find my lovely princess if I must search all the kingdoms of the world, for I would make her my wife.
Now there's a real basis for a successful marriage. The prince has one dance with Cinderella. One dance, mind you, and he wants to marry her.
Oh, why not?
I wonder what a marriage counselor would say about that.
Must you be so literal?
And she is such a bird brain, she runs off leaving one of her shoes behind.
It was a slipper of glass, spun as fine as gossamer.
And those two stepsisters of Cinderella's, they can't be very bright. They're right there at the ball, and they don't recognize her just because she's wearing a new dress. Now, I ask you, what sort of an IQ would those two have? Now, you take my Cinderella.
You take her, and you can have her.
My Cinderella has moxie. She goes after what she wants. No fairy godmother nonsense about her. When she arrived at Mr. King's party, the place was really jumping. The minute she wiggle-walked into the joint, all the cats began to yowl.
Get a load of a bay.
name. Wow.
Hey, it's a doll. A real living, breathing doll.
Hey, looky, looky. Hiya, Cookie.
Get away from me, short, fat, and repulsive.
Come on, sweet mama. How about pinning on a cheek? Let's live it up for real.
Drop dead, cornball.
What's with you, beautiful? You mad in this mad, mad world?
Mister, I'm just not playing the field, that's all. What I'm looking for is the favorite. Where's the prince?
In the rumpus room, lapping up some corn squeezes, I suppose.
Thanks, chum. See you around the bowling alley sometime.
Man, dig that crazy, crazy walk.
Real cool, man. Cool. Yeah.
Well, hiya, babe.
You the character they call the prince?
That's right. My old man is J. Walter King, a King, Betancourt, Bagby, and Wince.
Sure, I know. You're in the advertising racket. Big deal.
You know something? You're okay.
Sounds as if this advertising dodge pays off in blue chips. You mind if I park the bus? My dogs are killing me.
Yeah, sit right here next to me, doll. That's it. Would you like a slug gun?
Yeah, I don't mind if I do. Double bourbon on the rocks with a twist of lemon peel.
There you are. I like you, sweetie. You're a real dish of stuff.
Oh, it's the spot. Fill her up again, Buster. Mm-hmm. You and your old men are throwing quite a bash tonight.
Entertaining the sponsors is what they call an occupational headache.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet. Met a couple of the jokers when I came in. Well, here's mud in your eye, Prince.
Cheers. It's a real sharp bunch of threads you're filling.
Yeah, it's just a little something I picked up.
And diamonds and pearls.
Yeah, I picked them up, too. So you're the original man in the gray flannel suit, huh, kiddo?
Oh, I suppose one of these days I'll make vice president.
How come you haven't pressured your old man before this?
He's just made me an account executive for Bimbo's No Bunion Shoes, but I think he's thrown me a curve. The radio and TV ratings are doing a nosedive.
What you need is a gimmick, Princey.
Ah, you can say that again. Come on. They're playing a rock and roll, and that's for me, sugar.
Okay, honey. That's a gimmick, I think. No giveaway, no panels.
These kind of notes really send me.
Gimmick a... Oh, doggone it.
What's the matter, baby?
I'm losing my slipper. Hey, wait a minute, Princey. Wait a minute. I think I got your gimmick.
What's with you? You flipping your lid or something?
Now, listen. I leave my slipper behind when I leave here tonight. Nobody knows who I am, so you put big ads in the newspapers and buy spots on radio and television. A coast-to-coast campaign, a big build-up and ballyhoo to find the bimbo No Bunion Shoe Girl. You got it, Princey?
Hey, I really think you got something there.
Jumping catfish, is that 12 o'clock?
It sure is.
The time lock on the wall safe. The stuff's got to be back there before midnight. I gotta scram out of here.
What are you yakking about?
If I don't get going right now, I'm a dead pigeon. Here's my slipper. You take it from there. So long, Princey.
Do you see how competent and constructive my realistic Cinderella has turned out to be?
She's scheming and conniving and... actually dishonest.
Oh.
She stole her stepmother's jewelry.
Oh, nonsense. She only borrowed it for a little while. She's hurrying home right now to put it back in the wall safe.
How about the bracelet you gave to Cummy?
Don't you worry about my girl. She's ingenious. She'll find some way of getting around that.
She's an uncouth, unprincipled creature.
Well, at least she isn't inane and innocuous like your girl. But please, go on with your story.
Thank you. The prince searched everywhere for Cinderella. But alas, he could not find her. And when his search had quite failed, he grew ill with disappointment and vexation. Then the king, who dearly loved his son, called a privy council and asked his ministers what was to be done. They decided to send out heralds throughout the kingdom, proclaiming that the prince would marry the lady who could wear the tiny slippers spun of glass as fine as gossamer.
Ah, the slipper does not fit you, my lady.
Oh, dear, I'm so disappointed, Prince.
Let me try, sister.
I'm sorry. It does not fit you either.
I felt so certain it would.
Let the modest little girl who is standing back there come forward. Why, it is you, my princess. Despite your modest garments, you cannot conceal your identity from me, for I see you through the eyes of love. Now, we'll try on the slipper.
Yes, my prince.
It fits. The slipper fits. Come to my arms, my darling, my own true princess.
My prince. My Prince Charming.
And so they were married and lived happily ever afterwards. Now, wasn't that a sweet and lovely story?
To be perfectly frank with you, Lorena, I found it rather dull and pedestrian.
Oh, Vincent!
Well, in my version, there is action and excitement. My Cinderella is real and colorful.
And I suppose your story has a sordid ending like so many realistic stories. She probably went to the penitentiary and the advertising man was sent to the Chicago office.
No, Lorena, not at all, not at all. Listen.
This is your newscaster, Thomas Lowell. The search for the Bimbo No Bunion Shoe Girl continues. She has been reported seen in St. Louis, Altoona, and Tibet.
Cinderella, turn off that radio.
There are rumors that...
I'm sick to death of hearing about that Bimbo No Bunion Shoe Girl. That's all you read about in the newspapers, all you hear on the radio, all you see on the television.
And that singing commercial. Where is the bimbo girl and who is she with the no bunion shoe? Bunion shoe.
Driving bunion me nuts.
Shoe. Keep your hair on, kids. It'll be all over tomorrow.
It's been the greatest search since Bridie Murphy.
And, Dad, the ratings are neat, 43.
The Bimbo shoe sales are up 72.9.
A terrific campaign. This makes you a vice president, my boy.
I owe it all to you, Cinderella.
Ah, it's okay, Princey. But when do we get hitched?
Whenever you say, baby.
Better see how soon we can line up the network so we can get full coverage. We want this wedding to be a real doozy.
Bimbo's No Bunion Shoes will sponsor the whole works. I better let the press and photographers in. They're getting impatient.
You're smooth, Cinderella. Cinderella. Real frantic smooth.
Oh, and Princey, you're the most.
Well, Vincent, at least you had a happy ending.
Of course. You see, Lorene, there are all sorts of Cinderella stories. They happen every day, but they all end in exactly the same way. Even today, the beautiful girl can marry the handsome prince. And, of course, they'll live happily ever after.
Tonight, the CBS Radio Workshop has presented Speaking of Cinderella, starring Vincent Price and Lorene Tuttle, and directed by Don Clark. Original script by Ed Verdier and Don Clark. The cast included Virginia Gregg, Jeanette Nolan, Louise Arthur, Gene Bates, Vic Perrin, Irene Tedrow, Harry Bartell, Sam Edwards, Peter Leeds, Jack Crucian, and Byron Kane. Original music for tonight's program was composed and conducted by Jeff Alexander. The CBS Radio Workshop is produced in Hollywood by William Frug. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when we present Jacob's Hands, an original news story by Aldous Huxley and Christopher Isherwood. And we are proud to welcome as our narrator the distinguished author, Mr. Isherwood, presented on the CBS Radio Workshop. Sunday, over most of these same stations, the New York Philharmonic Symphony will be heard playing the Brahms Piano Concerto No. 1 in D minor, with Guido Cantelli conducting and Rudolf Virkuzny as soloist. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of CBS News, to be followed on most of these stations by My Son Jeep. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network. Thank you.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have an original musical comedy about Danny Dither, a messenger from the Department of Faith, Hope, and Charity, who comes to Earth with a special mission. I hope it succeeds in making you smile. Enjoy the CBS Radio Workshop, The Hither and Thither of Danny Dither. First broadcast September 7th, 1956 on CBS.
The CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind. Tonight, a musical play dedicated to both children and grown-ups, with music composed by Alex North, book and lyrics by Jeremy Gurry, and adapted for radio by Draper Lewis. The CBS Radio Workshop presents The Hither and Thither of Danny Dither. Every story must have a beginning. Ours began yesterday. Or was it tomorrow? Well, that's not important. What is important is that Danny Dither, celestial office boy for the Heavenly Department of Faith, Hope, and Charity, was suddenly sent to Earth on a very special mission. It's now the morning after his departure, and there are three very worried ladies sitting behind three rather shabby desks. Three ladies named Faith.
Oh, I'm sure Danny will bring back the report we need.
Hope.
But he only has a week. That's all the time Mr. Judkins gave us.
And Charity.
He'll succeed. I just know he'll succeed. There must be so many people down on Earth who know that the Faith, Hope, and Charity Department exists.
Oh, I'm sure they know, my dear. And by way of a reminder, shall we go?
Why not? What can we lose?
Who am I to disagree? After you, Faith.
Ask yourself this question. Did you do some good today? Did you lend someone a helping hand? Did you give something away?
And if by chance you didn't, if you simply closed your eyes, wake up and learn this lesson. It's a word unto the wise.
Follow our example, you'll be happier, you'll see. By imitating what we do, faith, hope, and charity.
Virtue won't hurt you, it's easy to be kind. Easy to be generous, it's a joy you'll find. Look a bit around you, then try to help along. Try to straighten out a mess, do right or wrong. And if you keep on trying, what a difference it will be. Just hitch your wagon to three stars, faith, hope, and charity. Virtue won't hurt you, it's easy to be kind. Easy to be generous, it's a joy you'll find.
Don't think that we'll forget you if you start to mend your ways. Good deeds don't stay hidden long. And virtue always.
Virtue won't hurt you, won't hurt you, won't hurt you. And virtue always pays.
I can't tell you how much better that makes me feel. Now I know that everything is going to be just fine. Oh, at least I think everything's going to be just fine. Maybe.
Faith, you answer it. It's probably Mr. Judkins from the front office.
Or that nasty little efficiency expert he's hired. If it wasn't for him, Danny would never have had to go down to Earth in the first place. What does he mean, saying he's going to have our department eliminated? Lucifer L. Lucas, indeed.
And how did he get into heaven in the first place? If you ask me...
Oh, girl, shh. Faith, Hope, and Charity Department. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Good morning.
This is Judkins. What sort of report has Dither sent up from Earth?
Oh, we haven't heard from Danny so far, Mr. Judkins.
But the boy's been down there a whole day.
Oh, Mr. Judkins, you said we had a week.
All right, I'll keep my word. If you can prove in 6 days that anybody believes there's such a thing as faith, hope, and charity, the department stays. Otherwise, Mr. Lucas has my permission to liquidate it. Oh, by the way, I've also given Mr. Lucas permission to go down to Earth to make sure that Danny Dither doesn't get into any mischief.
Oh, but Mr. Judkins, he'll do everything he can to stop Danny from getting the report we need. Mr. Judkins? Mr. Judkins?
That you won't hurt you. It's easy to be kind, easy to be generous.
Oh, Hope, be quiet. Girls, we've got to get in touch with Danny and see what's happening. But what if he isn't wearing the intercommunicating earmuffs we gave him?
We told him to keep them on all the time. Faith, you try first. Call him, see if he answers.
All right, I'll try. Danny! Danny Dither! This is Faith calling. Can you hear me?
He must be so confused because we made him forget everything about his life up here. He doesn't even know his name.
He's probably gone to a ball game. And who can hear anything at a ball game?
Try again. Try again, Faith.
Danny! Danny Dither! This is Faith calling. Danny, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Hear someone calling me. Plain as day. Danny! Danny Dither! Excuse me, sir. Is my name Danny?
Oh, you can't prove that by me, son.
My name must be Danny. What do you want? Wait, I'll look. Yes, I have a notebook in my inside pocket. What shall I do with it? Sure, that's easy. All I've got to do is wander around and write down beautiful deeds in this notebook. Faith, hope, and charity sort of deeds. What? Money? What do I need it for? Oh, well, where do I get it? Okay. Will someone please give me some money?
Now, there's a new approach if I ever heard one. You better try that story on someone else there, son.
Gee, maybe this won't be so easy after all. This whole big city, you can help me?
Hello, Danny.
Hello. Who are you?
You don't know me. My name is Lucas. Lucifer L. Lucas.
I don't think I've ever seen you before, but I'm not sure.
What a pity. Who knows? We might have met as recently as yesterday, but, what are you doing on Earth?
I'm collecting beautiful deeds. I write them down in my notebook.
No, who told you such nonsense? No one does those things, Danny. Come along with me and have some fun. Forget about looking for beautiful deeds.
No, I don't want to.
Well, at least let me get a little money for you.
All you have to do is ask for it. Isn't that right?
Why, sure. Just watch this. Okay, mister, this is a gun. Get your hands up.
I beg your pardon.
Let's have your wallet fast. Hand it to the kid.
Don't think you can get away with this.
I will, but maybe the kid won't. I hope. Now get out of here. Okay, Danny. You got some money now, and here's the gun to go with it. See you in jail. In jail, Danny.
Man, oh, man, did you see that operation? Kid, you're okay. My name's the Duke, and this is Droopy. Now, if we can be of some service...
310? 15? My name is Danny. 25? $325. Is that enough to buy something to eat?
Did you get that, Droopy? 325 federal diplomas, and he wants to know if he can buy something to eat.
325 smackaroos. Why, with dough like that, I could buy myself a season pass to the pictures. Or sideburns like Elvis Presley.
Or half the East River. Or a new tune for Nick's hand organ. Hey, Nick, you want a new tune for your gizmo? Maybe a little rock and roll.
Hey, Nick don't look so good. Hey, Nick, anything wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong. Much.
Why so sad, Nick? Where's the monkey? What's happened to the monk?
What's happened? It's a very sad story. Like this.
Pietro, Cristofero, Fiorello, Giuseppe was the name of my monkey, but for short I call him Bep. His coat had bigger buttons and his tail was very long. He sat upon the organ while I play all my song. He tip his hat, he make a bow, he look very fine. He jump on the organ when you give him a dime. He climb up, he climb down, he make a funny scene. I no like him to scratch himself, I try to wash him clean. He make a much noise, he run away, he shake all his feet. But pretty soon he come back when he wanna to eat. But now he won't come back no more to walk around the town. He go to monkey heaven, and he won't climb down. I hope when he tip his hat, they don't think it's a wrong. And maybe all the time he hears a much better song.
Nick, I'm sorry to hear that. But if you need some money for a new monk, Danny here's lots. He's got $325.
Who has $325?
Daisy, what you doing sneaking up on a guy like that? Hey, Duke, look, it's Daisy.
Well, come on over here and meet our new pal, gal. His name is Danny, and he's a real go-getter. Danny, shake hands with Daisy.
What are you guys doing with this kid? I've never seen him around before. Kid, is that a real gun?
Hey, Danny, show the roll you just heisted.
Hey, now, wait a minute. What's going on around here?
There, that's him. The boy with the red earmuffs. He was one of them. He has my money.
Hello, O'Shaughnessy. What's new?
Suppose you tell me, Daisy. This man says the kid stuck him up. Says he has a gun.
What do you say, kid?
I don't know what you mean by stuck them up. And here's the gun and money if you want them. The other man gave them to me.
What other man?
I saw him. He had a handkerchief around his face.
He did? Which way did he go?
He went that away.
Come on, mister.
Oh, that was close. Look, Danny, that's no way to get money. It's dishonest. You almost got us all into trouble. And we've got enough trouble as it is.
I don't understand. Who do you mean by we?
All of us. The Duke, Droopy. You know, it gets you down being a city brat sometimes. But even city brats can dream. Sure, we can dream a little sometimes.
Sing this little tune when you look for June, and all the springtime will come dancing to you soon. But don't forget the song, without it things are wrong, and every happy day just passes right along. Far away, the birds forget the city, but we kids can't fly, and that's a pity. So we'll sing our little song and wait until the day when somewhere we'll wake and see the day. No buildings in the way, meadows and mountaintops and everything so gay. So sing this little song, and cross your fingers and just hope it won't be long.
Gee, if kids can hope, maybe grown-ups can, too. I better write that down in my notebook.
I'm looking for a young boy named Danny.
What's the matter, mister?
We hear he doesn't know who his father and mother are, where he comes from, or where he lives, and that's a case for the immigration authorities.
But, Danny, you must know where you came from or where you live.
No, I don't.
Now march right this way, young man. The chief of the Immigration Bureau wants to speak to you.
Well, here we go again. City brats, right this way. Let's follow Danny and see if we can help.
The ship sails in 5 minutes, sir. The captain wants to know if you're going to send anyone this trip.
Nope, not an alien to deport.
With your permission, sir, I have an undesirable to report. This is Danny Dither. No identification, no parents. He refuses to tell anyone where he comes from.
Guard, tell the captain to hold the boat. I have one passenger for him. Half fare.
Yes, sir, but you'd better send him down before the last whistle blows.
Droopy, the last whistle. We've got to do something quick.
What can we do? How can we stop it?
Will you kids please stop whispering? I can't hear a thing this man is saying. Now, Mr.
Lucas, Chief. Lucifer L. Lucas.
Droopy, that's it. He can't hear a thing. We've got to make sure that he doesn't hear that final whistle. Follow me?
We're all with you, Daisy.
Every night before I go to sleep, a taxi makes a noise and it's beep, beep, beep. Every morn before I cross the street, a cop makes a sound and it's tweet, tweet, tweet. Near the tracks, walk with care, there are things we mustn't do. Stop and look and listen when the train goes woo woo. Ferry boats, peanut, and you hear them every day. All have their own sounds, and this is what they say. The man with the flute.
Tooty toot toot.
The owl's hoot.
Hoot hoot.
The cop on the beat.
Tweet 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 tweet.
The taxi on the street.
Beep 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 beep.
The boat's in dock.
Hoot hoot.
It's 5 o'clock.
Toot toot toot.
Chief, you didn't hear the final whistle yet, did you?
What do people listen for to end a busy day? Do 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 do. The whistles all say. How about the whistle?
right, guard. Take him away.
It's too late, Chief. They've pulled the gangplank. The last whistle blew 2 minutes ago.
Daisy, it worked. We did it.
Danny, come on. We better get out of here while we can. Danny, this is no time to be writing things in your notebook.
I'll be right there, Daisy, but this is important. Now I have a really good deed to report to Faith, Hope, and Charity.
It becomes increasingly apparent that I must somehow manage to lay my hands on Mr. Dither's little black notebook. Increasingly apparent.
Come on, Danny, let's go!
Going now, Daisy?
The kids all went down to the dock to go swimming. Wouldn't you like a swim?
What's that?
Just follow me. I'll show you. I'm champion underwater swimmer of the whole east side.
Well, come on.
Danny, stop worrying about finding so many good deeds. You know what I always say.
Take it easy, my friend. This is not the end. There's no point to worrying. You're hurrying to the grave. Keep your chin up, my chum. Let the trouble come. There's no sense to weeping. You're keeping the joy away. The Lord must love the underdog. He made so many of them. He must have made them all just so that he could love them. He made the world with little folks that big shots like to frighten. But big shots aren't big enough when underdogs start fighting. So, try some smiling and see how right things can be. It's wrong to be crying.
Hiya,
keep trying.
Hiya, Danny. Look at you swimming all these river style.
The water's just great, like a bathtub.
So get moving, my friend. This is not the end. It's no time for weepers or jeepers creepers. So open your peepers and keep your chin up, friend.
And there goes Daisy. Danny, watch this. She can swim underwater like a frogman.
Daisy, don't. Where is she?
Oh, she'll come popping up like a cork in just a minute.
Where is she?
She should have come up by now.
Help! Someone help!
I'm going after her.
But, Danny, you said you didn't know how to swim. Duke, he's going down. He's drowning.
Help! Help! Daisy!
Daisy! Help!
Danny, are you all right?
Where am I? What happened?
You're back in the Faith, Hope, and Charity department, remember?
Danny. Oh, Danny, I'm so glad you're all right.
Well, I'm waiting for the report, Faith, Hope, and Charity.
Your 7 days have unfortunately expired.
Danny, the little black notebook. Give it to Mr. Judkins.
The little black notebook? I'm afraid I lost it when I dove into the river.
I demand that this department be eliminated at once, as per our agreement.
Danny, doesn't he look familiar to you?
Daisy, I remember. I remember everything now. He's Lucifer L. Lucas. He was the man who had me arrested, and he took me to the Immigration Bureau.
And he was down on the docks, and he stole your notebook when you dove into the river to save me.
Mr. Judkins, are you going to stand there and let these children make such ridiculous accusations? Mr. Judkins, take your hands off me.
I just wanted this notebook, Mr. Lucas. So it seems you were afraid of a few bits of kindness, a few paltry acts of hope and charity. Well, you're not much after all. Have you anything to say?
Sure. What do I care for your kindness, your goodness, your ridiculous hope? I say it's a lot of nonsense.
Mr. Judkins, aren't you going to stop him, a dangerous man like that?
Charity, my dear, there's a very convenient hole in the clouds into which Mr. Lucas may tumble at any moment. See?
I think I owe you all an apology. We've been treating this department as though faith, hope, and charity were only ideas. But they're not. They make life livable. They bring happiness. And that's important. Very important. Do I make myself clear?
Yes, sir. We'll all get started right away, Mr. Judkins.
Thank you, Faith. And you too, Hope and Charity. And now, Danny and Daisy, I have a special job for you.
Yes, sir. Anything you say.
I'm sending you back to Earth because you can do more good there than here. And while you won't remember anything that happened, there'll always be something deep inside of you that will say, be kind, be thoughtful, be generous. Well, let's not waste any time. All of your friends will be looking for you. Right now, they're standing on the dock by the river, hoping and praying for your return.
Goodbye, Danny, dear.
You'll only need your earmuffs now in the wintertime.
Goodbye, Danny. Goodbye, Daisy. And always remember what we taught you.
Hurt you won't hurt you. It's easy to be kind. Easy to be generous. It's a joy you'll find.
Don't think that we'll forget you if you start to mend your ways. Good deeds don't stay hidden long, and virtue always pays.
Goodbye, Danny. Daisy.
Danny.
Daisy.
Danny.
Daisy.
Daisy, say something, please.
All right now, all right. Stand back. Just give him a little air. They're coming out of it now.
Daisy, Danny, are you all right?
Gee, you two certainly had us scared for a minute or so. Are you all right, Daisy?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Oh, Shaughnessy here pulled you both out.
Thanks for saving us.
I guess I've been an awful lot of trouble to you.
No real trouble, laddie. You and your gang just keep out of mischief, that's all. Daisy, I have a message for you from your mother. She says Danny is to come live at your house from now on.
Oh, Danny!
Gee, I don't know what to say.
Virtue won't hurt you. It's easy to be kind. Easy to be generous. It's a joy you'll find.
Don't think
well,
that we'll
I guess maybe we'd all better be going
if you
home.
Start to
see you tomorrow, Billy.
Sure thing, Daisy. Good so long, Danny. See you tomorrow.
And virtue always
hurt you. Won't hurt you. Won't hurt you.
You have been listening to The Hither and Thither of Danny Dither, with music composed by Alex North, book and lyrics by Jeremy Gurry, and adapted for radio by Draper Lewis. The orchestra was under the direction of Charles Lichter, with vocal supervision by Michael Stewart. The CBS Radio Workshop is produced in New York by Paul Roberts. Bobby Alford appeared as Danny Dither and Lynn Loring as Daisy. This is Gaylord Avery inviting you to join us again next week, when from Hollywood, the CBS Radio Workshop presents A Pride of Carrots, or Venus, Well Served. An unpublished original by Robert Nathan, a story of two earthly space travelers who visit the planet Venus. America listens most to the CBS Radio Network.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. And we're now on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.